Hello, Hugo Rifkin here on Times Radio. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome to the show John Sim, who's returned to our screens this week as the Brighton-based detective superintendent Roy Grace for a second series of his ITV crime drama, Grace. Here's a clip.
So, fingerprints from the hand came back negative for previous. We've sent off a request for priority DNA. If she's on the database, we should get a result later today.
Whispers? At Brighton, we've got two missing women match the general description of the body. Countrywide, another three.
How does that fit with the time frame?
Your first impressions on the scene from the pathologist put the time of death within the past 24 hours.
So what are we looking at? Domestic homicide?
Well, the perp often makes an attempt at concealment, right? Usually out of guilt, remorse, shame. So I think Roy is right. I mean, whoever did this intended for us to find her.
Got a trainee solicitor, didn't turn up for work today. She had an important meeting this morning. She never showed. She's 23 years old, so she's inside the margin. It's Janie Stretton.
Well, that was the first Grace, which you can still watch on Catch Up. That was Looking Good Dead. And the second film in the new series, called Not Dead Enough, airs on ITV tomorrow at 8 p.m. And its star John Sim joins me now. Hello, John.
Hi, Hugo.
Thanks,
good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us, and congratulations on the new series. Look, for those who haven't encountered DSI Roy Grace, tell me about him. Tell us about the sort of the quirks he has that turn him from just a copper into a character.
Well, he's not. He's not your, you know, typical drinking problem kind of cop. but he has got a. There is a something. There's a quirky dark past in so far as his wife has. Disappeared, I think, 6 years previously. And he hasn't been able to find her. So he hasn't been able to solve that particular case. But as a guy, he's a decent guy. He's a nice chap, I think. And he's a brilliant detective. He's very capable. And, you know, there's a kindness to him. And, you know, I think Peter James wanted him to be, you know, one of the police officers where you would feel safe if he was investigating a crime on your behalf. You'd feel in good hands. So
his kindness is a really sort of a major aspect of his character. The fact, I mean, because you know a lot of TV cops, there's a sort of undertone of brutality there or something like that. He's kind of the opposite. He's got an almost sort of teacherly air to him. What attracted you to the role in the first place?
Well, they're well-established novels, and so that was quite attractive to me when I realised that all of them had been like bestsellers and gone to number one. So I thought, well, obviously, there's a brilliant formula there, and I wasn't aware of them. So I started reading them, and then I realised why they were so successful. It's very cleverly done, and I just found him an intriguing character. He's sort of quite different to anyone that I've played before. He's very just his calmness. And also, you know, I've got a whole world to delve into. It's a great source of material, that the world of the novels. It was a no-brainer, really, when they offered it to me. I was thrilled.
What sort of, I mean, being the character, what sort of relationship does that give you with Peter James, who writes the books? Are you his Roy Grace, or is he... Do you think he has a thing that the Roy Grace is something? I mean, you know, slightly different. Or have you usurped Roy Grace in his mind's eye too?
Well, I think, according to Peter James, that I am now his. He thinks of all of us, actually, the whole cast when he's writing the novels, which is really surreal for me. But it's wonderful. Peter James is really hands on with the project. So, because we want to transfer these hit novels and their standalone thrillers onto the screen. So he's involved, and we've got a great pedigree. We've got Russell Lewis, who's a wonderful scriptwriter who came up with Endeavour, and he wrote for Morse. And so he's, you know, got a wonderful pedigree of crime drama. So, you know, the two of them together, and Peter works very closely. He's an exec producer, and we're just trying to sort of transfer that alchemy from the page to the screen.
I mean, you talked before about the, you know, the backstory, Grace's wife disappearing without a trace on his 40th birthday, and there's it sort of led to, I guess, strange happen. I don't think it's giving anything away to say he's consulted mediums to try and track her down, which he's also used in his police work. That kind of gives the show a kind of, I don't know, how do you see it? It gives the show a sort of a current of a current of something really unusual.
Yeah, it's an odd thing to do, but I'm reliably informed that it has happened. All these cases are based on, you know, something true, because Peter works with an ex-detective whilst writing them. Sorry, what was the question? I've gone off on one there. What was it?
it's all for the good. No, I mean the undercurrent that the involvement of sort of mediums and spirituality gives the show, which is really unusual. Yeah, it's not a question. It's more of a statement. But do answer.
It is unusual. And so, in the first two, in the pilot that we saw last year, and the one that was on last week, he visits Harry Frame, an old friend of his, played by Adrian Rawlins, who is a medium. Yeah, but they are friends. I think it's that's important to make clear. And it's not that he believes in the supernatural in any way. It's just that he's up for anything that will help him. Anything. He doesn't care if people think it's ridiculous. You know, if it works once, he'll go back and try it again, I think. He just wants any bag of tricks in his back pocket to be able to, to solve this case.
The fact that the episodes, I mean, they're quite long in a very good way. They're very rich. They feel a bit like sort of landmark. I mean, they are films, but they have a feel like feature films to them in a way that sort of reminds me of watching Morse as a child. It's that kind of level of involvement. But this week the first show this week, there was some sort of concern from some viewers that there was a bit too much violence and sort of dark sex stuff before The Watershed. What were your views on that?
Oh, I love that. Please ring up, complain, keep complaining, keep moaning about the violence. And, you know, these are the crime thrillers. It's never going to be chocolate box stuff. You know, this is it's deep, dark subject matter. I think they've handled it very cleverly because we don't show anything. It's all in the imagination. And obviously your imagination is far more powerful than what you actually see on screen, I think. I'm more than happy for the complaints to keep coming in. Because if no one complains, if everybody likes what you do, it means you're not really doing anything. So, you know, if you make art, then some people have to hate it and some people have to love it. So I don't mind that people are complaining.
I don't think it's giving too much away to say that the bit that a lot of people were complaining about in the first episode was a man a dead man in a gimp suit hanging from a ceiling. So if given that you loved the reaction, presumably later in this, I mean, presumably there's much worse to come. Worse or better? I mean, you take a pick.
It's dark stuff. All of them, none of them are comedies. There's always going to be an element of darkness involved in these cases. But like I say, I think they handle it really well. And I don't think you see anything that you shouldn't before The Watershed. And it's all to ramp up the tension. And these are novels. These are based on actual novels. So we're not going to change too much because we want them to have that same sense of, excitement as you get when you're reading them.
Yeah, sure. You look, in real life, you moved to Brighton just before being offered this role of DSI Grace, who is of course in Brighton. I'm sure that must be very handy logistically, but is it a bit weird sometimes to live in the place that's also where you're sort of living your fictional life?
Yeah, it is a little bit. Yeah. It was quite unexpected. Like we decided to do it anyway, and then this came up, and it was just like, wow. It's obviously this was meant to be. But I mean, the good thing about it is that usually I'm away from home filming. I'm usually in a hotel room somewhere in a different country or in a flat somewhere filming away. That's basically an actor's life, and so it's been a real treat actually to be able to go to work from home and not have to travel so far and stay over somewhere, and you know, so. Yeah, it's been great.
But, I mean, can you take a nice walk on the Brighton Pier without imagining a body bobbing along underneath it and stuff like that? You know, it doesn't get in the way too much.
No, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I can forget about Roy Grace when I'm when I'm walking along the pier.
I'm told your father-in-law was a cop who used to shout at the screen whenever crime series has got things wrong. Presumably Grace just sort of went down better with him than, say, Life on Mars, or, you know, I mean, how important is the authenticity to you in playing police and in a police drama generally?
Well, I think it depends on the program. You know, Life on Mars was sort of a fantasy thing as well. So, my father-in-law loved Life on Mars. He actually did say, you know, it was like that.
Wow. In some yeah.
That's pretty correct. And but Peter James prides himself on the procedural stuff, being authentic in his novels. Like I say, he works with an ex-detective who I think Roy Grace is based on. So he's worked closely with them. So, I think it's important if you're going to do a show like this to try and get it as you know, procedurally correct as you can. And we do try and do that.
Sure, and it's a sort of like a lot of the best shows, it turns into a sort of ensemble piece, and your co-stars become increasingly important. What's the dynamic like with your co-stars on set? Is it similar to the one we see on screen?
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets on really well. It's a strange phenomenon, really, because the darker the subject matter, usually when you're filming, the nicer a place to be is on set, you know, because when people get on and they have to sort of make humour, and you just cannot live in that world of darkness all day. Mm. So there's a lot of gallows humour, and, you know, we've got a brilliant cast, and, you know, there's a lot of funny people hanging around set. So it's always a pleasure, and it's a joy to work on, actually. It's a nice atmosphere.
Grace himself as a character, he's notably less, how to put it, he's less bleak this series. He seems to be, you know, we see him sort of jogging and stuff, and I've only seen the first two episodes, but again, I don't think it's giving too much away to say there's a flicker at least of a love interest coming up. Has it been a challenge for you to basically change the mood of the character like that?
Well, no, because it's a natural progression. It's just that if we get a chance to, you know, to make more of these, you'll see all the characters change and, you know, develop. Because we only had the pilot episode, really, so it's difficult to get him across in one episode. His world becomes a little bit lighter with the arrival of the Cleo Mori character, played by Zoe Tapper. And there's like a spark between them. And it's really nice for him to have a little bit of light in his life. But obviously it's not that simple, because the spectre of the wife, the missing wife, what happened to her, that's always hanging over him. So it makes any relationship a little bit tricky.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Look, one more before I let you go. What have you got coming up next, John?
I don't know. I'm waiting to find out whether we're going to do more of these. And that takes up most of the year. So... Mm. Hopefully more of these. I'd love to do more theatre, because the last time I did theatre was just before the pandemic. So I'd love to get back on stage again before it's too late and it becomes too terrifying to even contemplate. I'd be looking into doing more theatre, I think.
Theatre, I mean, is the concept of theatre more terrifying than being on TV?
Oh, yeah, but it's also more exciting. You know, the reason I became an actor was to work in theatre. I was trained for classical theatre only, really. So all of it, the rest of it, has been a bonus over the last 30 years. But I love being on stage, and it does get more terrifying. I left it for 10 years once, and I went back on it, and it was ridiculously scary. Not in a fun way at all. But I love that buzz. I love the rehearsals and the camaraderie of a play. You know, it's a wonderful thing to do.
And yeah, you were Hamlet just before the pandemic. Were you? But you're not. So it's going to be pretty dramatic, the next one. Anyway, look.
There's Hamlet, Macbeth, and maybe I'll save Leah for when I'm 70 or something.
Wonderful. Look, congratulations again on the new series, and thanks very much indeed, John Simmer, for speaking to us.
Oh, thanks, Hugo. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.